I'm pacing the pews in a church corridor, and I can't help but to hear. No, I can't help but to hear an exchanging of words.
What a beautiful Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Rossini.
We just got so screwed in this soccer match.
We did.
We were sitting pretty at the draw plus 420. Was it Bayern that scored?
Yeah,
Bayern Munich scored in the last seconds of the match. So we still won the Real Madrid plus 1.5, but we lost the under 4.5 goals big time. And then draw would have made our day. We lost it in the last seconds. This is why you shouldn't bet, junkies. 713-780 ESPN.
Junkie.
Sweats for a reason.
Man, how's the Arsenal match looking?
We won that one.
Whoa.
I said we won.
You didn't answer my questions.
Nil-nil, full time.
That's not a win. We were on the Arsenal money line.
I thought we were on the under.
We were on both. We were on Arsenal money line, also the under 2.5. We also gave up a lot of. We didn't do well today.
I forgot about we were on the Arsenal side.
Yeah, that's why you should just strictly answer my questions.
Sorry.
The ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational is April 29th at Sterling Country Club. Register on our website, ESPN975.com, right now. Put your four-person team together and get ready for a great day of golf. Lunch will be provided by Brown Bag Deli, dinner from Valencia's, and, of course, the beer will be Coors Light. Sign up now for the ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational. So I spent the break finding some of the music I was talking about.
Yeah.
Lance gets a little Asian at the end. He gets a little Asian at the end. Here's like the first one that I found. This is the type of music that I'm envisioning with Lance saying those last two syllables.
Okay.
And again, it's not the majority of his saying.
It's just the very
The very last two syllables of what he's saying. So I envision this music with the last two syllables of Lance.
Ich bin davon klon und unsteigend
heiger. Right.
It doesn't. I'm trying to
actually
mash it up.
Did you delete the last two syllables?
No.
How would I delete it? It's a drop.
See, he's doing me dirty, though, because the majority of what Lance is saying is obviously German. The last two syllables sound Asian to me with this music in the background. I need to get in there, get on the production board, and just get the two syllables I'm looking for. All right, so there's that. And then there's also this one, the next one. This is some meditation music for positive energy. Okay. This is a little techno, like techno-y.
Okay.
Like, I've never really heard this kind of version of it. It's very techno-y. But this is what I'm envisioning when I hear Lance clearly come a little Asian in those last two syllables. And apparently these are ums.
Ich bin davon klon und unsteigend heiger.
See, the last part. That's all I want, yeah. Those. The hi-ay-ya. Like the hi-ay-ya with the ums.
When you say it.
That's what Lance says. Hi-ay-ya.
When you say it, it sounds like what you're describing.
Lance says hi-ay-ya in the last two syllables, but Brian's doing me dirty.
No, the way Lance says it. Maybe you're right. Maybe Brian's doing you dirty. Yeah. All I hear is
can you only play the last two syllables? I know it's very hard to do. Just
no, I mean, not with this drop. I'd literally have to find the original audio and edit it out.
Tell me, like, you can. These are the exact syllables that Lance says. You can hear it.
I'm not making out syllables.
Play Lance's again. Just listen to the last two syllables, and you tell me the noise Lance is making.
Ich bin davon klon und unsteigend heiger.
You're right. But I don't hear
is
it.
He?
Yes.
He's right.
He's right in what Lance is saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's right in what Lance is saying, but
It sounds Asian.
I don't think it does.
This right now is now saying, hi-ya.
The way you're saying hi-ya. It, yes, but you're
that's
changing.
That's what Lance said.
No, you're
you
changing.
You said that I said it's hi-ya.
You're changing
the tone.
Tenor. Yes. You're saying it to go with the music. You're making your narrative fit.
You want to hear some oms?
Sure.
Hit me with the oms now, Brian. I should know that these are called oms, though. It shows that we're not very cultured, that we didn't know these were called oms. That's my bad. We should have known the oms. I listen to this sometimes when I meditate before the show, because I'm a huge meditator before the show.
BS flag.
I meditate before most shows.
That you listen to this while you meditate.
I've heard this sound when he meditates.
See?
especially depending on what he ate.
Isn't this peaceful, though? Like, this might be the music. Now that Augusta's over, like, whenever I'm getting on my, you know, off my rocking chair a bit,
sure,
I get triggered. You might just have to hit me with some OMS.
I don't see. Maybe this speaks to my personality. I don't find this peaceful.
I don't either.
Really?
This puts me on edge.
This makes me want to, like, get down in a downward dog and do some stretching. Like, I want to hear this as I do a little yoga.
You big yogi?
I used to do it on my every fifth or sixth day at P90X. They had yoga day on P90X.
Shout out to Jim Rome in the early 2000s.
I thought you were going to drop like a DDP yoga.
You never did P90X? I did the P90X for like 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Okay.
Now, to be honest.
Was it Tony Horton? Troy Horton? I think it was Tony Horton.
Tony's right.
I think he was the 60-year-old who was jacked.
No, I bought it.
Did you?
I don't think I ever used it once.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I still have the DVDs. They're like probably in a like I think they're in Brandon Baby's like closet.
Yeah, this is not. I don't think this is relaxing.
I don't find this peaceful.
Yeah.
I think I actually do. Like I want to get down and do some stretching.
No one's stopping you.
Well, I can't do it as I talk on the radio. And it might hurt my hamstring. It might pop.
It might help your hamstring.
I might rip it completely off the bone like Isak Potatoes.
It'd be great radio if that happened.
I don't think so.
The video clip would be funny.
Might be a good video clip. Which our new social admin doing me dirty now, too.
Big time.
Everybody's against me.
Very funny video.
Old Taylor calling in, ripping me a new one. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. So Dana Brown, Hunter Brown, they've gotten into a war of words.
Yeah,
it depends on which beat writer you're paying attention to. I always get a kick out of, because they all write about the same thing, right? And the three Houston American beat writers, because my guy Javier Gonzalez is the second best in the city of Houston behind Brian McTaggart. But the three American Houston beat writers, Brian McTaggart for the Astros, MLB.com more specifically, Matt Kawahara from the Houston Chronicle, Chandler Rome, now at the Athletic. They all write at the same stuff. Like Hunter Brown spoke yesterday. What are they going to write about? They're going to have a story about Hunter Brown, right? So Kawahari's story is like, okay, Hunter Brown, he was hurt, now he's recovering. Here are the things he says about his recovery. He also mentioned that he, you know, addressed the Dana Brown, talked about him throwing 99 in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of buried in the thing. McTaggart didn't even mention it.
Okay.
McTaggart didn't even mention it. And then, you want to guess the lead story for Rome today with his whole spill about Dana Brown and Hunter Brown?
Astros ace and GM sparring.
Close. Injured Astro Hunter Brown defends against high velo spring concerns. First paragraph, the lead. Astros ace, reigning American League Cy Young Award finalist Hunter Brown defended his high velocity spring training on Tuesday, a week after general manager Dana Brown insinuated it could have factored into the shoulder strain that has him sidelined for the foreseeable future. So it's always funny. And look, I'm not even – like, I actually kind of agree with Chandler Rome on this one. Like, I do think that there's some bickering going on between Dana and Hunter. Professionally,
sure.
It's not – like, it's a 2, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, are they mad? No. It's not even simmering, right? Like, it's – you just put the water on the stove. Like, it's not hot at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a response to what Dana said. So I'm not even like – this isn't like, oh, fear-mongering Rome, because I'm probably more on Rome's side on this. It's just funny how you get the 3 degrees of separation between the three beat guys. Like, one's like, whatever. The other one's like, oh, I'll mention it, but it's kind of buried in the story. The other one, right off the gate.
Yeah.
Ah, they're angry.
It's three very different approaches. Very – well, two are pretty similar.
Kawahara and McTaggart?
Yeah, and then one stands out very differently.
Yeah, probably. Now, to be fair to McTaggart, he wrote 3 injury notes about 3 different players, so it's probably why he didn't, you know, have those quotes.
Sure.
But he didn't. He didn't have the quote. You know, McTaggart didn't have the quote. Kawahara did, buried, you know, in a story. Chandler Rome just, it's the headline, it's the lead right off the top rope.
I mean, it's juicier. For sure.
Which
way more likely to read that one, to be honest.
It is juicier, which has been kind of what I've brought up in the past. But here are the comments in case you haven't heard. Hunter Brown, who got hurt, was placed on the injured list, all that stuff. We know that. Dana Brown, which we talked about. Dana said whenever the injury happened that he, Hunter Brown, was at 96, 98, even touched 99, Dana. Every outing in spring training where I'd like to see a slower buildup. He was fired up, so I would attribute it to maybe throwing too hard too soon. Which, to Rome's point, in which he was on foul territory, was like, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to mention publicly before having a conversation with Hunter Brown, which I agree with. I totally agree with. Hunter Brown did address it yesterday, these comments. Hunter Brown said, I think any speculation is warranted when you get injured, but my job in spring training is to get ready for the season, and I did nothing different this spring training than I have in every other one. So it's unfortunate, and his thoughts and comments are warranted. That's the position he's in, to speculate on that stuff, and my job is to put myself in position to be successful when the team when the season comes around, and that is exactly what I tried to do. So I think Hunter, I mean, he addresses it here, certainly, but I do think he took the high road and was a huge, like a massive professional, the consummate professional here.
Yeah, is it Dana Brown's job to speculate on this kind of stuff?
As the head of baseball activity, yeah, I think it is his job to speculate. Now, my, like, you know, 20,000-foot view of all this, I don't think Dana Brown should be commenting about that publicly. Not to say that he's wrong. Like, again, not to sit here and be like, Branham called it.
But isn't this...
I didn't love that Hunter Brown was hitting 99 in spring. Like, I was like, that's too soon to be hitting 99
Jeremy
in spring.
Branham's
Thank
right.
you, Lance. Appreciate you listening to the show. I don't disagree with what Dana's saying. You don't say it publicly, and that's the first time that Hunter Brown hears it.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think you say it publicly at all. I don't think you say it publicly at all. I think it's whenever you're having a conversation, like ramping up, spring training. Hey, we don't want to get too hot too early. We don't want to be at the apex before opening day. Like, let's slow down our processes here a little bit. You know, maybe you have to sit down with Hunter Brown and be like, hey, Hunter, we want you at 90%, not 100% in these games. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a general manager should come out and actually say it publicly.
No, I agree. And that's where I don't quite understand. Like, I get where Hunter Brown says it's his job to be ready. Totally agree. But should the organization have a plan for what's going on? And now this goes to past GMs, the example I want to use.
That's where Dana comes into play, though, on why he should have an opinion.
Yeah. But the Astros' organizational philosophy seems to have been in the past as well of just the players do what the players want. Think back to Alex Bregman when he put on, what, 15 pounds of muscle in one offseason, and then you got hurt right away.
Yeah.
It's just like, it seems like the players just kind of have their own plan of what they're going to do with their ramp up with their body in the offseason, and the Astros don't really work with them in it. Again, this is different GMs that have been part of this, but if you don't want him throwing 96 to 98 and also touching 99 in the spring, why aren't you having a conversation with Hunter Brown before he gets there?
That's a great point. Like, it should be, this shouldn't be a proactive thing. It should be, It should be a proactive thing. It shouldn't be a reactive thing. Like, you should be it should be preventative ramping up. You know what I mean? Like, this, and it goes back to like the training staff a little bit. It goes back to the, you know, the strength staff a little bit. And look, Dana oversees all of that. So that's why his opinion does matter. It's why he should have input, say, conversations. Those conversations shouldn't be happening publicly. Like, that's a really terrible spot to be having them, because now it does sound like you're throwing your guy under the bus. Mm-hmm. And Hunter Brown is your ace. Now, Hunter Brown handled like a complete professional. Like, I don't think that Hunter Brown liked those comments from Dana Brown. Like, when he saw Dana Brown say that for the first time, he's probably, what the heck?
Yeah.
What?
I'm sure he's pretty annoyed. I mean, even hearing the Hunter, like the extension conversation comments, and then having to be like, yeah, no, we haven't talked at all.
And that's the annoyance that a lot of people have with Dana Brown, is like, he kind of talks out of turn, and he kind of, like, you know, loose lips sink ships, and these players are going to have a reaction to it. Like, do I think it's the hang up between a player signing a long-term contract with you or not? No.
No.
Like, you might not like what Dana Brown's saying publicly, but if he gives you a, you know, the biggest contract ever given to a starting pitcher, you're going to sign it?
Yes.
Yeah. So this isn't like the difference between him being an Astro long-term and not being an Astro long-term, it just probably ticks him off a little bit in the moment.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just the big picture. It's just, the organizational philosophy of just letting guys do what they want. And if that's your plan, then you shouldn't comment on it at all. Like, because then the only way to comment on it is to throw Hunter Brown under the bus. It's like, well, this is what he decided to do, basically.
Yeah, how would you answer it? Like, how would you answer the question to be like, hey, Hunter Brown's hurt. You know, why do you think there's anything that led up to this? Blah, 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 blah.
I would say, you know, maybe what we did in the spring led to this, and we'll have to reevaluate how we approach it next offseason.
Yeah, I think people would like that. I think people would like the transparency. Me personally, I'd be like, injuries happen in baseball. It sucks. We hope to get Hunter Brown back as quickly as possible.
And that's a great way to answer it,
too. See ya.
Yeah.
You're not throwing your pitcher under the bus. You're not putting anybody at fault. You're not blaming anybody. You kind of have, you know, the the defense of your player. You have his back. And then what do you do after you get off the media call or you stop meeting with the press? You go back in the back rooms and have your baseball meetings and be like, hey, could we have done anything differently to try to prevent this? Okay, we didn't love that he was hitting 99 in spring training. Maybe we were throwing 90% in our spring training starts as we ramp up for the season. Maybe we don't throw our ace 102 pitches on opening day, which Chandler Rome puts out in his article that it was the most pitches of any opening day pitcher in all of Major League Baseball, which I think is a great point. Great point from Chandler Rome.
Because Hunter Brown was ramped up like he was going to go out and pitch in the World Baseball Classic. Like he was going to go out there and throw an inning or two for USA, which obviously he did not do. But that's kind of what the schedule felt like. What he had that one start where he had like 8 strikeouts in 5 innings in the spring, and that's probably when he was touching 99. So he was at his best stuff already in the spring, and that's way too early. Like we all know that. And then now you're dealing with this injury, and I don't know, everyone else on your staff getting injured too already in the year. So it's like, what's the organizational philosophy and how you handle spring? Feels like they just kind of missed the mark on it.
I think that's the bigger fear of Dana Brown.
Well, and to me, it's also going to lead into like our EMI conversation, where they're just letting him do what he wants. Why? Why are you letting this guy pitch bullpens the day before a start and now he's got tired arm?
Well, it's because of what he did forever.
I get it, but like, You know better. Like,
yeah, I don't think he has tired arm, though. Like, that's where
I agree. But, like, if that's the excuse they're going to use, it's hard to be like, oh, well, we let him throw a bullpen the day before a start.
Because it's a lie.
I know, but
they think that his best chance of pitching well is to do that.
Because that's what he wants?
Yeah.
But if that's not what's best for... If they don't think that's what's best for a starter, then you have to push back.
I think they would.
You think they would? You think they just...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they will now.
I mean, I think it's part of the whole, like, trying to get familiar with the new league and the new team is, like, you kind of have to have some compromise there, some give and some take. Junkie, the Astros seem to talk a lot when they shouldn't and stay quiet when they should support their players. It seems like the front office is very disconnected. That's a fear. Like, does the front office know what they're doing? Do they know how to run a baseball organization? Pete says Dana Brown, graduate of Jerry Jones University with a degree in BS. At what point do we start questioning Astros strength and conditioning, Coach? I think it's a fair thing. Totally fair thing.
2 years ago?
That's part of the buildup. It's injury prevention. Like every organization, every university, everything from like high school up, maybe even some kids before high school, they have strength and conditioning coaches trying to get faster, stronger, and also prevent injury. So, yeah, that's absolutely in play. Like I'm not privy to what they do, so I have no idea if it's good or bad. But should it be looked at by the general manager of the baseball team? Yes. Maybe they did, though. Maybe they did look at it, and they're like, oh, yeah, it looks great. Do you trust Dana there? These are all the questions that matter. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Emi is sad, Joe. He is depressed. He is homesick, even. And it's our duty as radio hosts in the city of Houston to try to alleviate the depression that Tatsuya Emi is under right now. How are we going to do that? How are we going to bring the smile for Emi back to his face? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
Quarters in session, averted tears in. No appeal on the docket today, just my own sin. The walls cold and pale, the cage made of steel. Screams fill the room, Lord, I drop and kneel. Silence now the sound, my breath the only motion around. Demons clutter.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Sad White Boy Wednesday music for Tatsuya Emi, who is depressed, who is sad.
He's sad.
Who is homesick, many things. What do we know about Emi? Emi through an interpreter, which we now know is his third. Emi said he's not been able to adjust to an American lifestyle in terms of baseball and outside of baseball. When asked, Travel is different from Japan. Also, the timing when players eat. So in Japan, the players, when they get back to the hotel, they eat their dinner. But in here, the players eat at the stadium. Which, listening to Dana Brown today on the flagship, he actually brought up, like, Imai's dinner routine.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, you know, he eats dinner at a different time. I was like, okay, all right. Well, they're actually, like, making that a, you know, putting credence on that. Yesterday, Espada said Imai will remain shut down from throwing. However, until the arm strength starts to come back, asked if the issue of arm fatigue might lead him to consider changing his in-between starts throwing program, which has included short bullpen sessions the day before his starts to get a feel for his pitches, which you referenced earlier. Imai said he will likely not. So I see your point there that, hey, he's got a tired arm. Maybe he shouldn't be throwing the day before his start because that's seems like a way to get a tired arm. You know, Americans don't really do that. But again, I go back to the point, I don't think it's a tired arm. I think this is a reset on Imai's season. Sure. I don't believe the tired arm thing whatsoever. Imai didn't bring it up once after his awful start in Seattle. He talked about the mound. He talked about the baseballs. He talked about the weather, even. He didn't say anything about his arm. I think the tired arm was a complete excuse to put him on the IL, give him a reset, try to get him acclimated to America. Another quote from Imai through an interpreter. It's just, I'm not able to adjust to the American lifestyle, like, other than baseball as well. So how does this deal with the tired arm at all? How does that have anything to do with the tired arm that he's not adjusted to the American lifestyle? This is a reset. This is trying to get him acclimated stateside. Imai said that baseball and outside of baseball, so that's probably the reason. How is that the reason? How is outside the baseball the reason to your tired arm? It's a complete fabrication, which is fine. I think they need to do this. I think they need a reset. I think they need to completely do ramp up. BS flag on the tired arm. We're right. They probably know we're right. That's not the issue here. Here, this was a Espada today. Espada talking to the media today with a little bit of an update on Imai. This courtesy of Jason Bristol from KHOU. We'll get to it in a moment. But just a lot. Oh, Tad Kyle's sitting right next to Espada. Look how close we are to Joe Espada.
We're right
there. We are 1 degree away from Joe Espada. We're one they're brushing shoulders even. Todd Callis's right shoulder is brushing shoulders with the left shoulder of Joe Espada. So when we talk to Todd Callis on Fridays, we're basically talking to Joe Espada. In fact, Callis has given some Easter eggs in the past that come to fruition before anybody knows.
That's true, he has.
He has given us Easter eggs. So you got to make sure you're listening to Callis on Friday. All right, here was Espada, a little bit of an update on Imai.
Tatsuya expressed some challenges and difficulties he's had since coming here season. Were you aware of any of these, or have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, we have talked to him about it, and he's going to take some time for him to adjust, and we all doing everything in our power to help him adjust, right from Japan to Florida. Schedule is different, coming to Houston, and then first road trip, he's out three cities. So he's going to take some time, and we all help him, trying to adjust. And he will. I'm always calling, Major League managers who's had Japanese players. How can I continue to help him and be a bridge to that transition? They all say the same. It will take some time. Just make sure you extend your arm and be more than just a manager. Be someone they can talk to, because that relationship between manager and Japanese player is different than in the States. Especially the way I am, I like to engage and bring guys to the office. Let's talk about family and friends and stuff like that. So it's part of a transition, and we're going to help them with it.
They're going to help them.
Sounds like Imai needs a therapist. Which, look, I think we're being, like, funny with it and all that stuff and callous. And
no, but
that's what we do. But, like, it is hard. Like, you mean,
it's a major transition.
Yeah, it's tough to transition from being a pitcher in Japan to a pitcher in Major League Baseball. Like, Joe, you go to radio in Japan tomorrow.
Not going to be fun.
It's going to be challenging. You're not going to know what to eat.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to eat a lot of fish.
What would
Jose
Jorge be?
You're going to have to eat that yogurt in those little itty-bitty little, little plastic bottles. I don't know Japanese.
I don't know either.
It's very hard. Like, at the symbols and stuff, I don't know what any of that stuff means. I can give you a couple ohms if you want.
But that's it.
That's about it.
But like, it is a challenge to transition like this from another league to the MLB, another country to the U.S. But I still just don't – I don't love the excuses. Like,
that's the part that bothers me. Like, if he came out – and he did, to his credit. But, like, if the first thing you say is, well, we eat our meal at the stadium instead of the hotel, I'm like, I get – no, it's 100%. Like, it's a very difficult transition I would not want to make. But if the biggest obstacle here is where we eat our dinner at, what are we talking about?
That's not the biggest obstacle.
I mean, that's the first thing you mentioned.
No, it's not.
To be fair, it's he's talked about the seams of the baseball and how hard the mound has been, but like,
and the weather, the pleasant weather in Seattle, so they're not used to it in Japan.
The pleasant weather?
It was pretty pleasant. When he was pitching, it was actually like 68 degrees. Like, yeah, you know, the weather I had to get accustomed to. Like, you're not getting better than that.
What a difficult obstacle.
Yeah. It wasn't the first thing he mentioned. It was like the fourth or fifth thing he mentioned. Yeah, you're right. I am infuriating. It's tough, man. I think he needs a therapist, and we have some ideas. The junkies have some ideas. And look, I dabble in psychology. Mm-hmm. I dabble in, like, you if do. You ever need somebody accurate? To, you know, to lean on, if you ever need somebody, a shoulder to cry on, if you ever need advice on how to better yourself, how to be a better man for your, or woman, for your spouse and for your children, if you're a mother and a father, I'm your guy. I dabble a little bit in psychology.
Is that accurate? The
yeah,
guy.
I dabble. I've read a book or two on psychology. I can help you out a little
bit. More than me.
So what we're going to do here, Joe, and what we're going to do with the help of the junkies, you, Junkie. Brian, myself, we are going to alleviate Emi's depression. What are things we can do to get Emi acclimated to our great city? How can and why do we want to do this? We don't really care about Emi that much. We just want to have a solid pitcher in the rotation. It's not so much about Emi.
It could be anyone.
We just want a solid pitcher in the road. We want a number three starter. Do we care about Emi's feelings? No. We want a number three starter, but we know that we have to help his feelings in order to get that number three starter. So is it a little bit, you know, selfish? Absolutely it is. Everything has an element of selfishness to it, though. So we're going to help Emi's depression. What can we do to help him? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
We can't read 98% of the text to get Emi off of his depression.
We cannot.
Off of his homesickness.
Yep, I'm going to let you handle the ones we're going to read.
We're going to need to PG this down a little bit. 713-780-ESPN.
Really glad you have your laptop today.
Yeah.
So you can choose what we read and don't read.
Can't read any of these. They're all racist. Super racist.
You can read the James Harden ones.
I know, but there's the only ones that are left.
Can we eject an entire text line?
They're pretty funny.
We kind of asked for it.
How are we going? PG answers only. How are we going to cure Emi's depression? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A junkie, let him hang out with James Harden for a weekend visiting his favorite people. Will he pitch well? Emi not? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. No. Is tired arm and mommy's wrist comparable? No. Mommy's wrist is way more painful. Pete, if you're getting paid $20 million a year, you change your habits. Is Dana going to get him a lazy boy for the clubhouse too? I mean, that happens. Give Granada to give you Japanese lessons. Take Emi to any one of the spots along Richmond, says landscaper Chris. Okay, I see what you did there. Let him hang out with Harden at his favorite places that he frequents. Take him to Ojos Locos immediately. Have Harden take him out, says Wheatstraw. Can't read that one.
So basically, unless it's racist, it's Harden.
Some of these
jokes
aren't racist. But they're kind of racist.
They're ones where, like, I don't know if we want them the words that are being texted in to come out of our mouth.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't want it to be clipped.
Like, there's a very specific, like, way of saying take them to, like, a Deshaun Watson masseuse, but they're using different words for it that are racist.
Yeah.
Probably get you canceled. So we're not going to say that. But maybe that's an answer. Maybe Deshaun Watson would have a place or two for him. Oh, someone said re-sign Yuli. No. It's messed up, man.
You want to leave? That was towards you, right? Darvish? The Yuli thing?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant to you.
No. No, you Darvish.
You specifically.
No.
It's like, no, it wasn't directed to me. The text was not directed at me. Rehires Fromber's therapist. I thought about the Fromber therapist thing, but the problem there is I'm pretty sure he only speaks Spanish. I'm
pretty sure he also sucked his job.
I'm about to say, so how effective was he?
I mean, Fromber had some good years. I mean, don't you miss Fromber right now?
I mean, mid-therapist, he threw at Caesar salad.
That was a pitch-com mistake.
We'll see.
It was just a pitch. What do you mean, we'll see?
I don't know. Maybe the tell-all comes out after they retire.
What do you mean, we'll see?
they'll talk after they retire.
I'm sure it's happened. We're just not privy to it. I've never heard a translator go from Spanish to Japanese and Japanese to Spanish. Like, I'm sure it's happened, obviously.
Yeah, there's got to be some translators that do
there's
both.
There's some huge fortune, whatever, businesses.
That can translate everything.
Yeah, I'm sure. We just don't see it in sports.
No.
Like, in our world, I've never seen a Spanish to Japanese translator.
I don't think so.
They exist. You can't read this stuff. You're just burying our text line right now on stuff that we can't read. You brought it on yourself, Whitey. Half Whitey to you. All right, do you have any good ideas?
Well, yeah, let's start here.
that aren't racist, Joe.
Yeah, let's get him an interpreter he likes. Let's just start there.
How many do we have to go
through? So I have a specific interpreter in mind.
I know you do.
Just hire Shohei's interpreter. That guy is loyal to the soil. Mm-hmm. That guy will do anything for his dude. So if Imai's having issues, you know, getting acclimated to America, he's having issues with translators because he's already burned through. Now he's on to his third. Why don't you just hire the most loyal translator that we've seen in the history of baseball?
Yeah.
How do you say it? Epi or whatever? Epi? Hire Epi. Epi, who cares, as long as he gets Imai on the mound pitching well.
Yeah, I think that's a good, like, that's fine.
That's what I want.
Just get him someone he likes, someone that he gets along with. Like start there. Because to be on your third already, maybe this happens more than we realize.
Jeez.
But I don't know.
What's that little white guy that used to interpret for Yao doing? Is he available?
Colin Pine?
I don't know. Colin something.
Okay, there's a huge issue here, though. Because Japanese isn't the same language that Yao Ming spoke.
I mean, to be fair, Jeremy, you did the same thing earlier.
Not really.
Good point.
Yes, you did. You were talking about Japanese sounds, and you went Yao.
That was intentional.
Okay, I was saying.
You didn't even get my joke.
No,
I got the joke.
I just had a really dumb moment. No, I'll admit, I just had a really dumb moment. Yes, one speaks Mandarin, one speaks Japanese.
Oh, man, I can't read any of these. Texts are hilarious, but I can't read. It's like I can't read any of these.
Just do Granado voice. We'll be fine.
Man, 713-780-ES. Get Johnny Dang to make him a grill. There you go. We can read that one. Get Johnny Dang to make him. That's so Houston.
It is.
Can Bun B, like, make a rap about him?
Maybe just give him some trail burgers.
Bring him out to, J-Bar M. Somebody said send him to Two Creeks Crossing Resort.
Yep.
That'd be a good time. The water park opening soon.
It'd be a nice place to relax.
You can hang out with Paul Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Wall can hang out with him. Like, we need to get him acclimated to the city. Not because we care about his feelings, but because we need a solid number three starter in the rotation.
And you don't want to be sucked into $60 million of a bad pitcher.
Yeah.
So that's why
to help. I think it could get so bad with Imai, though, that he gets so homesick and doesn't get over this depression where he's like, screw it. I'm going back. I'm going to leave the money on the table. I think it's in play. Like, I don't think it's the betting favorite here. And look, hopefully Imai can figure this out and becomes a solid starter for you.
Yeah, just eat at the hotel or who cares?
Like, he has shown that he has the ability to get guys out. Mm-hmm. His command has been terrible. The A start was very good. His baseball savant isn't tragic. Like, he still has a chance to, like, get it figured out. But do I think it's in play that he is so, like, homesick and depressed that he just forgoes the future money to go back to Japan? Yeah, I think it's in play.
I mean, that would be – we see guys walk away in sports.
Yeah.
And it surprises you.
And look, he's going to make $18.5 million this year if he doesn't hit any of his incentives.
Yeah.
That is life-changing money. And he's going to go back to Japan and probably be the highest-paid pitcher in Japan. Like, he's still going to be incredibly rich.
And it's not like, I can't imagine this would hurt his market there.
No.
Like, they would just bring him back.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, he would, I mean, he'd go back and be the most popular pitcher in Japan. So, like, it's like, we think that he is leaving a lot of money on the table. But if he is just so miserable here that he's like, oh, screw it, you know, $36 million, I'm going to go make, you know, $20 million. I don't know how much players get paid in Japan. I'm sure it's decent, though. I'm sure that the highest paid players in Japan are probably amongst the elite in that country, mm-hmm. right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't really know. I don't keep up with, you know, anything outside of the country. But it's not like he's leaving fortune to go be, you know, some poor guy in Japan. He's still going to be the elite of the elite, and he's going to be happy. He's going to find his smile. He doesn't need to go through translators because everybody.
I've lost a lot of things, and one of them has been my smile.
Yeah, he needs a translator for that, though. Hopefully, a guy who speaks Mandarin.
I don't think Shawn Michaels speaks Mandarin.
He just speaks to God.
In tag teams with him,
exactly. Maybe one person every game. You know, so not the whole team, but every game, one person is designated to. Get in an Uber, go back to the hotel, and eat dinner with Imai. You know, just so that way he doesn't have to eat at the stadium.
Yeah.
Just only one guy.
I think he needs some meditation and some alms with Lance.
Yeah.
Take him to Bissonette, says somebody. Seriously, though, he sounds homesick and should go home. They might. He might. I mean, we're just, yeah, it could happen. He needs to know Mike Jones's phone number. Overthrow him on his off day so he gets injured and feels like part of the team. My Siri is talking to me. Take Imai fishing. Oh, some people like to fish in the beautiful Gulf Coast water.
Will Anderson. Have him hang out with Will Anderson.
Go fish. Do some. I mean, everybody loves the beaches in Galveston, right, Charles Barkley? Everybody loves the beaches.
You're right.
After three games, he's already homesick. No way he'll make a 162-game season. I think it's very much in play. Like, if he doesn't get over it, he doesn't get acclimated, I think he's back in Japan next year. Hopefully that's not the case. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for not because I care about his feelings, but I want the Astros to have a number three starter.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at with Imai. It doesn't feel like a great contract right now.
I like this suggestion from the text line. Give him a Rodman. Let him go to Vegas for a couple days.
Yeah,
or just let him go back home for like 2 weeks.
Could he have the Roger Clemens where he only shows up whenever he starts and he can just travel to Japan whenever he's not pitching?
It's a lot of flying.
I know it's far, but would it be better for him? Yeah.
Probably too much traveling.
Probably a bit of travel.
Yeah. Is he with the team?
Right now?
Like, well, I know now he is, but he left.
He left Seattle, yeah.
Do you think when they go back on the road, he'll travel with the team?
That's really weird if he doesn't. Well, he's on the IL.
But see, I would think that a guy who's struggling to adjust to the U.S.
Yeah.
Leaving him alone in his apartment.
See, that's what I
want to
know.
Like, I would want him to be with the team and have, like, the camaraderie with it. It's, like, continue to adapt.
I doubt he travels.
I think that's a mistake.
I doubt. It could go either way, but I doubt it. Like, Hunter Brown's not traveling, you know?
Yeah, but he's not homesick. Like, I want him to be, like, around the team.
Maybe the vibes. Maybe he doesn't like the American teammates. Or
yeah, I don't know if that would help his homesickness, like being around a bunch of people known for 2 months.
I just think like being like, be like, oh, I'm just going to sit at home would make me.
Well,
like,
we don't know his home life, though. That's the thing. You're making these assumptions that he's like alone in his like random apartment. Do we know his marital status?
No, that's true. We don't.
Like, I don't. Does he have a girlfriend? Like, I don't know. Like, we need to send him our most beautiful women if he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, if
somebody
he does.
Somebody go make Imai fall in love.
Do you think he just hates losing?
No, it's too early.
Too early.
It's not. It has nothing to do with losing. No.
And they won his, what, second start?
That's true. They did.
They did win that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are terrible. You junkies are terrible. I think we have to move on. Keep him away from Correa's masseuse. I have the real story on that. Kick him out of the universe? What's wrong with you? Trade him to the Dodgers? He'd probably like his time in L.A.
Yeah, but he was so adamant that he did not want to be on another team with other Japanese players, and he was coming to Houston to beat the Dodgers and to beat those players.
Yeah, but he said he was like fun and friendly then. He's lost his smile, and he's no longer that. Like,
I've lost a lot of things, and one of them has been my smile.
What can you get for him?
He went from like lighting up the room, throwing like the first shot,
yeah,
and like everybody's talking about his bubbling
personality.
Throwing up
the H at the Texans game.
And, like, this guy's got such a great personality, and now the dude's like he's in a deep depression. He needs some Zoloft, this guy.
What could you get from the Dodgers?
Nothing.
Tucker.
You get nothing for him. 713-780-ESPN. We have to go to break because the text line is getting worse and worse. Favorite Rockets-Lakers storyline. The series starts on Saturday. Joe, what are your favorite storylines ahead of Rockets in L.A.? Brian's going to say Colin Pine. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. And 50 years later, that mission has not changed. But the reason that people come to D&M has only grown. They're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, and tired of paying too much for too little. You can do everything on the phone and on the website. All you got to do, call 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com right now. And one of their salespeople, who on average has been there for 10 years, will walk you through the process from start to finish. They'll help you save money, protect you from depreciation, and design a lease around your life. Don't go back to the dealership. Call D&M Leasing at 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
You guys are funny, but they can't be read. Someone make him a Tinder profile. There's like a, I think there's an online, the only reason I know this is because I watch Bravo with my wife, but there's like an online dating app for like rich people.
Oh, well, no, it's not rich people. It's like famous people.
Okay.
No, yeah, there was a story that came out about Christian Pulisic and his girlfriend breaking up. They apparently met on it.
It's like
yeah.
Raha or Rawa or
something like that,
and,
yeah.
And you have to be invited on it.
Oh, really?
And the reason why I know this.
Because you turned it down a time or two?
It's because somehow Jake Asman got invited
no
on it.
No way!
Yes.
You think anybody's swiping right on Jake Asman on Tinder?
No one's swiping right, but somehow
people
he got invited.
People with choices? No offense, Jake. Well, I guess offense, but yeah, people with choices?
They thought he was famous because he's the host of The Jet on the Jake Asman show or something?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but somehow Jake got, like,
I can't remember the name of it. Did
he, so he signed up?
Like yeah, I think he said he was on it.
Interesting.
Did he say he had any connections?
I don't remember that.
We need to call up Jake.
All right.
Call up Jake right now. Let's see if he's we need to find the place. Or he's going to be I don't want to out you. I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
I'm pretty sure this was like common knowledge.
Yeah, but we can't call Jake on a show that he was fired on if you're not willing to do this because it's
true.
Your information.
That's true.
It's
I don't
like
do
it's
that.
Your information. Yeah. I didn't have the information. That would be no. Being a terrible friend to you if I were to like just out you.
Yeah,
like that.
No,
I don't want to do pass. That. Okay.
Yeah, I also don't want to like, drive away all of our listeners.
Oh.
I feel like I need to call him now.
No, it's okay.
Wow. 713-780-ESPN. How many right swipes on the celebrity Tinder does Jake Asman have? It's a big city. It's a big city. He's probably there's probably a lot of volume. It's a big city.
Yeah, if he's back in New York now, he's got a better shot.
I mean, there's yeah. Whatever they did to Mr. Baseball for Tom Selleck, do the opposite. It worked out for Selleck, though, didn't it?
Yeah, he was successful in that movie.
Maybe he means opposite because he was a white guy in Japan.
Right.
And Imai's Japanese right. In America. Maybe that's what he meant by opposite. Yeah. That'd be a good idea, though. I think that'd be a good idea. Because Selleck, I mean, he was great. He was loved over there. He found love.
Yeah, he found love with a woman from that area. Maybe we need to do the same for Imai.
Yeah. So he said, send him to collect her firearms.
I think it's going to make him leave him quicker.
John says, get that man a grill. Alan says, Alan just hit me with a gif, even with a James Harden gif. Soy Boy says, look no further at Bill Murray and Lost in Translation. That's a good movie, Lost in Translation. I don't know if I would have made that connection with Imai in that movie, but I like that movie. It's a good movie. Off the record, it's not off the record. It's just it's not off the record at all. It's just, you know, a side point, okay. Just a random side point here. David Beckham looks a lot like Sean McVay. Cash or trash, 713-780-3776. David Beckham looks just like Sean McVay.
I'll cash it.
That's a lock cash. Look, they look yeah. Identical.
No,
same hair.
I see it. Yeah.
The beard, the tan's the exact same.
Yeah, I see it.
You could
do like an older Sean McVay.
I mean, Beckham's aging well, though.
No, for sure, but you can tell.
Beckham's a little thinner.
He looks older than Sean. But
McVay's got some more muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look a lot alike.
Yeah, I see it.
They look a lot alike. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A junkie wants us to use a sweat of the day, even though it's later tonight, on the Rays. Says the Rays haven't won on April 15th in 15 years.
That can't be real.
I think it's real. I think I've heard of this before.
Well, then I think we have to.
History never equals the future, Joe.
Yeah, but trends are trends. Yeah, the last time they won, it looks like, was April 15th, 2011.
Let's do it. I mean, we're chasing bad money today because we lost some soccer bets because that stupid late goal with seconds to play. We would have had a great day.
Yeah, we would have.
Would have had a great day. Stupid Munichs had to score with seconds left. They're named after a pill. Bayern is like an Advil or something. Yeah, it's like a little white pill. Bayern. You never seen the Bayern bottle?
I don't think so.
You've never seen the Bayern?
I mean, maybe.
The pill that you buy in the store? Did I make that up? I might have made that up.
Named after a pill bottle would be.
No, it's just like a big, like, you know, pharmaceutical company. They're big pharma.
It's Bayer.
What's Bayer?
I don't know.
I think you're wrong with this one.
Oh, Bayern's like a town.
Or a pill bottle. Either way.
I always thought they were named after medicine.
No.
More you know with Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-ESP. You want to bet the Rays?
Let's do it.
All right, we're on it. Astros had a change to the lineup. They moved around their infielders. They originally listed Correa at short, Paredes at third, and Allen at second. And this was everywhere. I think I saw the actual lineup from the dugout. I think McTaggart posted it. And then they've changed it. Mm-hmm. You don't even need a lineup change for this. You know, you could just be like, hey, we're going to move those players around. You don't actually need to switch this up. But now Isak is playing second, Allen's playing short, and Correa's playing third. So they switched their three infielders. They did like a little Cupid shuffle.
Okay. Why? Just because?
Yeah, like that's the question. Why did you do it?
I'm kind of guessing Carlos was like, I'm going to play third today.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a Carlos thing to do.
Do the Rockies pull the ball a lot? And you want to have Allen and Correa on one side of the infield?
Why would it take so long to figure that out?
I don't know.
And Arrigetti, I think, is a fly ball guy.
Yes.
My best guess is that they know he's a fly ball guy, so they want to give Isak some just like reps at second.
That makes sense.
Like give him more experience playing the position. The reps are better. All that stuff. That's my guess.
Reasonable.
I think it's reasonable. A junkie, y'all pooping on Jake, but none of y'all should be invited either, LOL. No doubt.
No one said that.
You're 100% right.
That's a straw man argument.
You know why we shouldn't be invited? Not because we're not handsome and great looking and very, you know, elite and classy, mm-hmm. but because we're married.
We are.
We're married. We have everything going against us to be on that app. Otherwise, we'd still not be on it. You're right. Absolutely, we would not be on it. We never suggested we would. 713-780-ESPN. How tall is Jake when he stands in his wallet? Probably the same height as when he just stands up. Joe, wipe the brown off your nose.
What did I do?
It's Bayer, idiot. Someone had the wrong glove. Oh, that's funny. I don't think it's true, but maybe. I don't know what you did.
I don't know why I got brown on my
nose. I don't know why you're getting crushed. Calling Bayer in an Advil is worse than Joe not knowing who bet second for the Astros. If you're going to roast us, you got to at least get the sittings right.
It was an accident.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's a loss for me. I'll take the loss. No excuse there. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the favorite Rocket Lakers storylines that you have. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
29-degree draft beer served in frosted mugs. That's what you can find at Twin Peaks. Plus, they're made from scratch, comfort food, wall-to-wall TVs with every single game, every fight, every big moment. And that rustic Mountain Lodge atmosphere. They got burgers stacked high and cooked to order. There's smoked in-house wings and brisket, cocktails, ice cold drafts, and happy hour deals. It's the ultimate man cave sports lodge where you can watch UFC, boxing, football, basketball, playoffs right around the corner. Would be a great place to go and watch those games. Plus, they do game day watch parties and events at night. Twin Peaks is your lodge away from home. Scenic views that makes Twin Peaks famous. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.